the Kid Nation app. Hear the show and watch it 24/7 on your iPhone or Android. Get it in the App Store right now. Kid Craddock in the morning.
We're back and we're talking about being untruthful. Because we all do it, you know? And some of us do it just a matter of life. It's just a routine, everyday thing. We never even think about it, just to get out of stuff or to get stuff or to make our lives better in some way. We just tell a lie. Officer, I'm sorry I was speeding, but I'm on the way to the hospital to visit my wife who, you know, just I'm meeting her there. She's being taken to the hospital by an ambulance or whatever. I mean, just lies you tell to benefit yourself,
yeah,
to get yourself out of trouble or to make your life more convenient.
Yeah.
Big Al is feeling very regretful about one of these.
Very.
Because he's a liar.
Wow.
And this was not premeditated. This was not planned.
It was pointless, really, right?
So pointless, Kelly, you would not even imagine. I mean, I get to church right on time. Church
starts
at 8.
Whoa, you get to where?
Church. Church.
Hey. This lie takes place
in the church.
In a house of worship.
Yep. Mm.
Big Al.
I pull up at 8:40. And
are you lying?
That's important.
Are you lying?
And the church is crowded. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm like one of the last people to get there. And so,
because it starts at 8:30?
It starts at 8.
See, knowing when church started would have been germane to knowing what time you got.
If it starts at 8, you get there at 8:40.
Storytelling mastery of Big Al.
How long does that mass last?
I just said it started at 8.
He's not a Catholic. Okay.
Anyway, so there's ushers there at church, right? Mm-hmm. They tell you what section to go to, where to sit, that type of thing. So,
big old church.
Yeah, 1,500 people at this church.
Whoa.
Dang.
Wow.
So I'm up in the upper balcony, and the lady says, sit right here. And so I'm in this row, and the row is relatively full, probably three quarters full. There's room for two people.
You're in the aisle.
I'm in the aisle. I want to sit there.
Yeah. So you can get up and leave early when you got there 40 minutes late.
Yeah, leave in 5 minutes.
You want more
I
leg
just
room.
Like sitting there. You know, there's room to be. So the usher, the lady bends down and she goes, sir, could you scoot over to make room for one other person?
Oh, I get asked that all the time in church. All the time.
I immediately look up at her. And say, oh, I got somebody else coming.
Oh.
Kelly, I don't even know why.
In church.
I don't even know. These were the first words that I said on Sunday.
Because
I hadn't even said another word. These were the first four words or whatever that I said on Sunday morning. Were a lie in church. All my friends are sleeping.
So poor old lady had to sit somewhere else?
And the church wasn't like full, but the section was getting full.
Right.
And the row was getting full. And I just didn't want to sit in between two people.
Why not say, okay, stand up, let them in, sit in the aisle.
Boom.
I don't know, dog.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So
I didn't
lie.
Al, I did the same thing once on Southwest where they don't assign seats.
Right.
I'm sitting there in the, there's a guy in the window seat, and I'm in the aisle seat. And I'd love to keep that middle seat free, like everybody who's ever flown Southwest Airlines.
Yeah.
They want that middle seat free.
Yeah.
So somebody came down the aisle, nice lady. She's like, anybody sitting here? And I looked at her with the craziest eyes I had, and I said, just the Lord.
And she's like, I'm good with God.
I want to sit on his lap.
she went ahead and moved on after that. We've all done it, Al.
Not in church.
It was in church.
You can't do it in church.
So pointless. I mean, there's no good reason.
Did you immediately pray for forgiveness?
And I looked at her. Well, you know what I did, Kelly? All during church, there's a few more stragglers coming in behind me. So I'm doing that thing like you're looking for somebody. Like I've got my neck up like this. Like maybe that's them coming in.
Al, you do the same thing.
I'm carrying it on.
Perpetuated the lie.
Al, every time you're in a restaurant eating by yourself, which is every time you eat.
All the time. Every day.
You pretend to be on the phone.
Yeah.
So that people think you have a friend.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes up, like the waiter comes up, the bartender, you'll be like, how late are you going to be? Okay, I'll go ahead and order then to get away from the insecurity of being there by yourself.
Yeah.
But that's different than lying in God's house.
This was, very.
Yeah.
This was lying in God's house. And then, like I said, it's just so stupid. It was just one of the most stupid lies I think I've ever told in my life.
Would you like to pray for forgiveness now?
I would.
All right, go right ahead.
I would. Lord, it's me, Big Al.
Yeah.
And that's
the truth.
Do you
have to identify yourself?
Don't you turn this. Yeah. You need to pray for serious forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Lord, please be safe.
Turn this into a joke with God.
I have sinned, and I am terribly, terribly, terribly sorry. I didn't sin in your house. Sure.
Could have done this at his house.
None of us are perfect, Lord, but I just want to ask for forgiveness. This is even worse than the time that I cheated on that test in the sixth grade and got kicked out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lord, I know I'm not from Compton, but I like to tell people I'm from Compton just
another
to get
lie.
A little street cred.
Another lie.
Yep.
And that time I got arrested for writing that hot check for that video rental. Yeah, I messed
up. Well, you're
Lord.
Like the Lance Armstrong of the show.
You wrote a hot check?
And all those times I go up to the ticket counter at the airport and I say, I got a knee injury. Can you bump me up to first class? It never works because you know that I'm lying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that girl that I tried to hook up with in Mexico, she didn't lose. She didn't lose.
It's giving
top.
You the wrap up on your prayer.
He'll go for days.
Yeah, I got plenty.
And
so, Lord, the list goes on and on.
Give me an amen.
I'm just so
amen.
Sorry. Amen.
All right.
He just cut to the amen part.
Yeah.
Who's down with that?
Who's willing to reveal a lie they've never told on the air?
We've never told on the
Well,
air.
If you've told it, I don't care.
We've told it.
Mine are always little white lies just to make me not look bad or make somebody not feel bad. Like
no, they're not.
Well, I had the...
They're not always that.
The lies that I tell. Otherwise, I just don't say anything.
When you had a photo shoot and instead of ordering the pictures from the photographer, you tried to take them to a photo store and copy them on their high-tech copy machine,
right.
When they say
thereby
copyright.
Screwing the photographer out of their prints.
That's not lying. That's stealing. That's two different things.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't lie and say, these are my pictures?
No, I didn't. They caught me.
They just caught you. Okay. My bad.
The one day I didn't know how to work the machine.
Sorry.
I could figure it was...
You were stealing, not lying. My bad.
I could work the machine. The lady decided to come over being the helpful employee of the month. I'm like, no, it's really okay. I got it. And she opens it up and sees that it's copyrighted.
Property of so-and-so. Yeah. Copyrighted, yeah.
Busted.
Okay. Go ahead.
I was at a restaurant once, and there was an older couple in line ahead of us, and it was pretty full.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell that there were no seats available, so I think they went back to their car. And I saw them leave, and it was just me and Kenzie and a bunch of people waiting, and we got there late. And all of a sudden, I hear the lady call, Joe, party of two, Joe.
Mm.
I remember the guy's name was Joe. And so I sat there waiting for him to walk up, and he never walked up.
So you said, Joe,
so like, I'm Joe.
I'm Joe.
Wow.
Wow.
So we got seated.
Yeah.
Apparently Joe and his wife came back a few minutes later.
Oh!
Well, your name is Jose,
exactly.
Maybe.
Yeah. So then the lady comes back and she goes, excuse me.
It's what's in your heart, Kelly.
I think we sat you down when we were supposed to sit this gentleman down. And I said, no.
No, well,
that's my name too.
Oh,
so
you lied again.
You called my. I had to. What am I doing?
You got to keep the lie going.
I already had my water.
Yeah.
I already had the bread on the table.
You already had your water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, it's just too.
And I felt bad.
Jenna.
I guess the most recent lie I told is I went out with someone, and my friends were real inquisitive about it. And just to make it a better story, I lied and said he was 18.
Yeah.
Just
was he 16?
No, he was like 32.
Oh, okay.
I just thought it'd be funny.
Okay, mine is. A whopper of a lie and one of the most embarrassing things that's ever happened to me in my whole life.
Uh-oh.
But I have an excuse.
Okay.
I have the best excuse ever. I had just been at my mother's bedside. She was in a coma. And they've said there's nothing we can do. And I've been there for 5 days. And they said she could linger for weeks. And I had a television commercial to shoot in Nashville the next day. So I went to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, the minute I get to Nashville, there's a message that my mom has passed away. And I felt so terrible that I left, you know, the next day. So I do the commercial. Everybody is in the know that's doing the commercial, that they're doing a commercial with a guy whose mom died 20 minutes ago. You know, that's hard.
Yeah.
So they were very compassionate and they wrapped up early. So my flight wasn't, we thought it'd be an all day shoot. They got it done by 1:00. Okay. My flight's not until 6:00. I go to the airport, try to get on an earlier flight, can't get on, so I have to sit in the bar and just wait for the flight for 5 hours, and you can't sit in the bar unless you have a drink.
Yeah.
And they were very aggressive about it. So they give me one of these beers. It's like the size of a drum.
Yeah.
And I drink it, and then they're like, you want another one? I'm like, I'm good for now. Well, sir, there's people who need these seats. And I'm like, okay, give me another one. I get on the plane, and I'm stumbling. I never get drunk, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. And I'm struggling. I'm sitting.
Oh, your mom just passed.
Yeah, I'm sitting there, and there's only one guy next to me in the row, and he sits down, and we start talking, and he's like, where are you from? Well, I'm embarrassed. I'm drunk, and I know it. So I'm embarrassed. So I'm not going to say where I'm from. I'm from L.A. But I'm drunk enough. I've never told this.
No, you haven't. I haven't heard this one.
I'm drunk enough to think. To not think clearly enough to be a good liar.
Okay.
So a little bit into it, he goes, what do you do?
And
I said, I have a radio show.
Uh-oh. Oh,
in L.A.? Yeah.
Is this better or worse than the time you tried to feign the Australian accent throughout the flight?
Oh, that was just fun. Okay, so the guy goes, well, that's weird because you look really familiar to me.
Uh-oh.
I live in Dallas, and there's a guy on the radio there named Kid Craddock, and you look just like him. Now, there's the moment of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I said. Nope. And I need a nap. I need to take a nap.
Don't talk to me.
I'm drunk.
So,
did you ever say I'm Ryan
Seacrest? I have a problem, and I need to take a nap.
So I put the blanket against the window and turned my head for a minute. I wake up when the snack comes, and he's like, he wants to talk some more.
Oh, man, the talker.
I work for Countrywide Financial. I'm in the mortgage business, you know, and where do you live, and how is it out there in L.A., and blah, blah, blah. And it's so uncanny that you're on the radio, and you do a show, and you look just like this guy. It's so weird. Flight attendant comes over.
Hi, kid.
No, she doesn't blow it.
Okay.
She doesn't blow it. She apparently did not look at the passenger manifest, and she overhears him saying that I look like Kid Craddock, and she goes, you do look like Kid Craddock.
Oh, no.
Thanks. Yeah, I get that a lot.
I ain't going back to sleep.
So, the guy says goodbye to me on the flight because I'm continuing on to L.A., he thinks. But in fact, I'm going to baggage claim just like him.
Oh.
No, that's where you have to go wait in the bathroom for at least 45 minutes.
I did.
At that point,
and he's still there.
You got to take the lie down. You just got to go with it.
I go out to the baggage claim, and he's standing there.
No, no.
So I'm standing there waiting for the bag, and I'm like,
flight got canceled.
Apparently, the flight's delayed. I'm going to get my bag and try to get another flight or whatever.
The guy standing there with a sign that says Craddock. Yeah.
Right.
You still that drunk?
Yeah. And it's a Friday.
Oh, man.
And so I'm married. I get home, and Carol's like, we got that progressive dinner tonight.
Oh, no.
Are you up for it?
And you're hungover.
Oh, no.
And I said, you know, maybe it'd be good for me. You know, maybe
you could meet lots of new friends at a progressive dinner.
Maybe it would be good for me.
Oh, no.
There's five houses on the route, and everybody brings something. We go to the first house, and I say, who lives here? And Carol says, I don't know him, but he works for Countrywide.
Mm-hmm.
He lived a block away from me. I walk into his house.
Nice to meet you.
I'm wearing the same clothes.
And you're still hammered.
And he looks at me. Luckily, he's nice.
Oh, yeah.
What are the odds?
Because he doesn't know that my mom just died that day. He just thinks I'm a huge liar. And he looks at me and he goes, how's it going? I said,
because you know his wife had been so pumped. Like, Kid Craddock and his wife are coming over tonight.
And I looked at him and I said, you know exactly how it's going.
The Kid Nation app. Hear the show and watch it 24/7 on your iPhone or Android. Get it in the App Store right now. Kid Craddock in the morning.
It's an epidemic in America. It's a word epidemic. It's overuse of one adjective that is now known as a word you can use just for to describe literally anything. And it starts with an A.
Oh.
It ends with a G.
Oh.
And that word is amazing.
Amazing.
And we, last week, recognized this after hearing Britney Spears say it 14 times a week on The X Factor.
It's your favorite word, y'all.
But it's a lot of people's favorite word. It's one of my favorite words, and I need, because it's lazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's no different than saying like, you know? It's just, it's lazy speech. So we put in an amazing alarm, and if anybody says the word amazing, they have to literally tase themselves with a taser that I brought in. Yesterday, I had to do it.
You did. Did somebody do it?
No, I'm just saying, we're not the only ones on this bandwagon now. Jimmy Kimmel, yesterday, put together a montage of amazings from a show called
Amazing Race?
The Bachelor.
Oh.
I'm about to embark upon the most amazing journey ever.
This house is amazing.
It would be amazing.
Last night was amazing.
I feel amazing right now.
She amazed me.
This is amazing.
This amazing connection.
It feels amazing.
Another amazing night.
So amazing.
It'd be amazing.
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 I had an amazing week.
I mean, come on. Wow. That was one episode of The Bachelor. 17 amazings.
What's surprising to me is that's a word that has a lot of synonyms. You know, there's a lot of other words you could say instead of
but
that
But nobody
one.
Ever uses them. Like the word astounding.
Or stunning or stellar.
Boom. Awesome.
Stellar. Yeah.
Epic. That's another reason. Uh-huh.
Epic.
Killer.
Super cool.
Really great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Really, really, really great.
Fabulous.
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 Thanks, Tim Gunn.
Spectacular.
Are we talking Bachelor here? Are we going there?
We're going there. We're going Bachelor.
Let's go.
All right. We'll start with the woman that Kelly calls One Arm Sarah.
I don't call her that, but you identify a person, you have to say she's the one with one arm.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Sarah. What else are you going to say?
Call her Sarah.
Sarah.
Well, nobody knows who Sarah. It's only 2 weeks in. Nobody knows names yet.
You got a point.
Sarah.
And to keep it the current theme, I wanted Sarah to be amazing. I wanted her to
Taser.
Be.
Taser. Hello.
No, I did it on purpose.
He was being funny.
I want her to be.
You want her to be fabulous, so he really is.
And she is.
Yeah.
She's a regular girl.
No,
she's,
let's be honest. She's not.
She's completely.
She's not over the top. Crazy.
She's not over the top.
She's a blank canvas that has yet to be painted.
Mm-hmm. Kelly was all over her for her annoying voice. Let's see if you agree.
Close your eyes
Sarah,
and listen.
Will you accept this rose?
Thank you.
Wouldn't want to spend this day with anybody else.
Sarah has blown away my expectations. I mean, it's been a long time since I've gone on a first date and I've connected with somebody like this. So to have those feelings, those butterflies, and to want that first kiss so badly, it's such an exciting feeling, and I love it.
It's not really the clip where she's whining.
It's not.
It's when he picked her.
I always envisioned a perfect fairy tale being like this. This is by far the most incredible, memorable, special date of my entire life. Sean is such an amazing guy, and he's everything that I could have ever imagined. He's incredible. I feel like I'm falling in love with Sean.
Oh my God, it's one date.
I know.
Jeez.
It's just desperation.
I feel so bad for her.
It's absolute desperation, and it's sad and pathetic, but this is really what happens in dating land, apparently.
I could tell by every single kiss he had that show that he was not going to pick those girls that kissed him.
Yeah, closed mouth.
Just that it's
boring.
You have one shot to make this guy's legs go just completely weak. You got to rock his world, or it could be over. And you give him the worst peck. The peck you would give your dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, he wasn't making it easy on them.
He was kind of opening it up.
No,
a little
he
bit.
Needs to make the first move in those situations. Yeah. And the girls are right. It's like you're sitting there and you can see him kind of
moving,
and then he shuts down.
He's shy.
It's hard to make out
shy,
in front of cameras, but he has done this before.
And you could see him trying. He was trying to do the, like, opening his mouth a little bit. Hey.
Okay, back to Sarah. Back to Sarah and this mean show that she's on, because make no mistake, The Bachelor is a mean show.
It is.
And Chris Harrison is the evil master of The Bachelor.
Yeah.
And when anything mean happens, Chris Harrison has the slyest, greatest grin on his face, like, this is amazing.
It's gonna be great.
He's like he's the evil, he's Dr. Evil. And I'll tell you why I think that in a second. But first of all, let's take the one arm girl and make her climb a trestle on the top of a 30 story building.
But she's happy. She
make
did
her
it.
Climb to the top with one arm.
And she's like, hey, he treated me like a girl with two arms.
Right.
So
they jump off this building. It's like a zip line straight down.
That's kind of cool.
It's very cool.
And then later in the episode, that story she told of being with her dad in Vegas.
That's why they did that date with her.
Of course it is. But we didn't know that at the time. So
everything is set up.
It is.
Everything.
Yeah. Anytime Sean says, I had this idea. No, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He was given an idea.
Producers had
it. This is nothing new. It's like, oh, Emily, your fiance died in a plane crash and he was a race car driver. So let's go around a race car track.
Let's go racing and then
we'll bring up horrible memories.
And we'll go there in a private plane. That's what they did.
She's cool with it?
Yeah.
She's cool with it.
So that she told a story of going to zipline, I'm guessing at the Stratosphere, which is where they had it, and that she got up there and she got all strapped in and she's fearless and she's ready to do it. And one of the workers there came back after a discussion with the manager and noticed her arm and said, I'm sorry, we can't allow anyone with a disability to do this. So there's a bunch of people in line and she has to unstrap and take that walk of shame.
It's humiliating. Like,
you can't do it.
Left in a flood of tears.
And that was just a really moving. And
it
I
is
really
a moving story and
that.
A very long one.
Okay.
It was a very long
man,
story.
You're tough, Kelly.
Yeah,
that she
tough.
Left out no details.
I normally agree with you, but you are being tough on her. I thought she
sorry,
was
nice. She's boring. Nice is boring.
All right.
This is The Bachelor. Okay. I don't want to see nice dates.
They're trying to find love, okay. Kelly.
But this
that
is boring.
Tiara girl is not boring, and she is crazy loony.
Great. Let's zone in on her. She'd be more fun.
Anybody in the room that didn't watch the show, because I will take great delight telling you something that happened.
I actually only watched up until shortly after that.
Did you see Desiree go to the art museum? Go to the
boring.
Yeah, I saw the accident,
did you
the
see
prank,
it?
And
yeah.
that's
did
it.
You see it?
That's
yeah.
where
dang
I, that's
it. Yeah.
where I turned it off.
Okay, I'll just tell the fiction.
When he says a person's character is based on how they react to a practical joke,
he's trying to make it better.
Apparently, when you stand there and have no reaction, that's what Sean wants.
Yeah.
Because
okay,
he's in love.
All right, hold on.
What? I'm so angry.
I know.
I get passionate about this stupid show. I don't know why.
Chris Harrison, you know, reality TV's Hitler.
That's going a little far.
Maybe a bit. Decides it'll be really fun to take for Sean to take her to an art gallery where it's all actors and to have her, you know, orchestrate it so she's in a room by herself while a $1.5 million piece of art crashes to the ground and there's no one in the room to say she didn't do it.
It's punks.
Yeah.
And yeah, so they come in and she is near tears. And
I wouldn't say that.
And the whole time,
no.
The whole time, Sean is expressing doubt about this idea. He's saying,
I'm a horrible person.
I'm a bad person. I wish she, you know, I'm having second thoughts about this. I mean, who is that? That's not funny.
It wasn't a funny joke. Remember, he's the one that took Emily up to his
room. But you're not trying to date Sean. I mean,
it's a mean thing to do to someone.
I love pranks, and maybe he wants a girl that likes that. He did this before.
Good.
Who cares? I mean, that's his thing. He likes it.
I can't stand practical jokes. Can you imagine always having to look over your shoulder because your husband's going to pull another prank?
Yeah.
See, and I love it.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's creative. I think it's funny.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's not like he's going to do it all the time. I like to do practical jokes.
Yeah, here's what happened, JC. You be Sean, okay?
Okay.
Hey, Sean, it's Chris Harrison.
Hey, Chris.
Remember that prank you played when you brought Emily to your parents and you acted like you lived with your mom and dad?
Yeah, that's funny.
Okay. Since you love pranks so much, we want to pull one on one of the girls, okay? Yeah, what we're going to do is take her to an art gallery, and when she's standing in a room by herself, we're going to have a piece of art that she thinks is worth over $1 million crash to the ground, and she's going to totally think it's her fault. Don't you love it? Isn't it great?
No, it's not really that good, Chris.
What do you mean? It's great. It'll be so funny to make her look so bad and watch her cry. It's gonna be. I love watching girls cry.
But
it's the best.
No, it's not.
Making people feel like they're, you know, done a terrible thing. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Let's do it.
Do I have
on this
to?
Amazing journey. It's so amazing.
Do I have to?
Yeah, you have to.
You know, he didn't want to do that.
No, he was letting us know ahead of time because he didn't want to look like a bad guy.
No, it's a stupid joke.
We've met,
and we'll talk to Sean, and he will tell. I promise you, he will tell us. They came to me.
Of course they did.
It's not his character. Yeah. It's not.
So it does come crashing down. She's like, I didn't do it. And
it was really about it.
Chris was so proud to show us the setup. Look at all the backstage people we got. Look at all these cameras and the hidden cameras and videos and these actors. And this actor's going to be an artist who's really angry with her. It's going to be great. And make her feel horrible.
It was zero payoff. They should have really edited that entire date out. It was pointless.
Yeah. I'm just surprised they didn't do it over and just tell her to act more.
Yeah, come on. Give us something else.
Yeah. Let me see if I have that.
That just fell. I didn't touch anything.
You didn't touch that?
No, I didn't touch a thing.
All right. Well, at least it wasn't out there. It wasn't one of the main pieces.
That is the main piece.
So you didn't touch it?
I didn't touch it.
And then the artist comes in.
Hey.
He's an actor.
Ooh.
I didn't touch anything. At all.
And he's giving her the stink eye.
You would think even he would have more to say. He's not saying
nothing.
Anything.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? What happened?
And then Sean comes in very awkwardly, and he's like, you know, he's trying to justify, like, this reveals character, and I just want to see how you do with practical jokes, and you did awesome, and I always know that you know, I will always support you.
I'll always have your back.
If I'm not playing jokes on you, I'll always have your back. I could tell it made him so uncomfortable and he hated it.
It was clearly no payoff.
I'm clearly out on a limb here because I'm not a fan of the show, but I think he is the most likable one they've ever had.
He is likable, which translates to boring for Bachelor.
He's just not boring to me.
I don't want to see a nice guy
I think he handles the women well. I think that he's well-spoken. I think half of the other guys are like mouth breathers, and they say the same thing every single time. They're dumb. He's at least somewhat intelligent. Look what he's working with. Everything's fake. Everything's planned. Right. We know
Jenna's
this.
Just hoping when this relationship doesn't work out, he'll come back around.
Hey, if my...
No, it's not that.
If my daughter was older and she showed up at my house to meet her new guy, Sean Lowe, I would be ecstatic.
Of course. He's a nice guy.
He's a great...
What harm could come of it?
He's a good person. Yeah. What other compliment can I pay to someone that I would be ecstatic if you were
dating
my
daughter? Have a lifetime of cheating each other's beds and putting salt in your sugar.
Oh, okay, he's amazing.
And I have purposely not gone to realitysteve.com to see who wins yet.
I know.
I probably will. You do know?
I know.
I'm actually... Okay.
Then I'm not going to look at you and don't look at me?
No, I'm not, but I don't want to know.
I'm going to say right now, based on their connection last night, I think Desiree's the winner of The Bachelor.
Really? He's going to have connections with 10 other ones.
This is only the second
episode. He has like four or five connections on each show,
man. But the one connection that I got the impression was most important to him when he was here with us was family. And the fact that her parents have been married for 35 years, and his dad...
The next girl said her parents have been married.
And his dad defends her mom every time, and Sean's like, mine too, even when she's wrong.
Let me throw a wrench in your little plan there, Mr. Craddock.
Yeah. Why are you doing this predictions when the answer's out
there? This Desiree girl is a bridal shop girl. So she's into weddings, which means she's into The Bachelor, which means she watched Emily's season and saw Sean talk about his family and how close he is with his sister and his parents and how cool
so
the relationship
cynical.
They have. And so she's like, ooh, if I get on this show, I'm going to tell him that my parents are just
every girl says they're into family on this show.
Every girl does.
She had that planned
out.
If you're playing the game, you would.
What did Catherine mean when she said she loves beef?
She likes Sean's beef.
I guess a lot. I'm vegan, but I love the beef.
That's funny.
What? You're vegan, but you love the beef?
She points at his body.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah.
That is so great.
So I hope that, I want you to hear from me first.
I love that.
All right, Kelly's most hilarious tweets had to do with Katie, the yoga instructor, the little hipster who never should have been chosen for The Bachelor. with the curly hair.
I was like, which one is she?
Rizzle dazzle.
That's the funniest. They go to her, and her hair like inflated to epic proportions.
It was like Carrot Top,
I've never seen anything like that in my
life. Kelly tweeted something like, she quit The Bachelor because they know they're only going to places with really high humidity.
You know, nobody has great hair days towards the end of The Bachelor because they always go to some island destination, and at the end, everybody's just braiding their hair and trying to plait it down as flat as possible.
Yeah.
Kid, that wasn't even the bad picture. They went to her confessional.
It was twice that size.
It was hysterical.
She's like, man, I need to go back to Boulder.
She seemed
like a really cool chick, you know? Smart. And she kind of bonded with Casey B, the girl that was on two seasons ago.
The one that was drunk.
Came back. Kind of
bonded
with her.
She was so drunk last night.
Because she seems more genuine and like less like the other girls. And so she told her what was up. But what's her name? Katie. What's her name? I just said Casey B. Yeah. She was like, good riddance. Get her the hell out of here.
Less competition. She's playing the game, too.
I'm a win me the Bachelor. Yeah.
But, you know, if you're sitting there in the corner and Sean hasn't looked at you twice, it is like,
you can see the writing on the
wall. I'm going to be humiliated at a rose ceremony. I can take myself out now.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be that girl.
I'd
get a plate to go.
The only thing that would make this show interesting for me to watch, since I know a lot of their motives, is at the end when he proposes, then Chris Harrison goes, all right, you want to get married and accept his proposal, or do you want $1 million? Because I guarantee every single one of those girls would take that money.
You do?
Hey, do you want $1 million in a hosting gig on Extra?
I don't know. At that moment, I think the girls are caught up in it, and then you're also thinking about what's coming afterwards, because everybody makes money after the show with all these appearances and the fame.
Guys are so
it's very
cynical.
Sexy.
Cynical? None of this is real.
Cynical.
How can you not be?
How are you so chick that you've bought into this?
You know I am.
They just want to win, dude. This is a competition. This is not, they want the guy. They just want to be number one. They want to beat the rest of the girls in the room.
You're wrong.
No.
Oh, kid.
You're wrong.
They don't care about that, dude.
That might be true of 15 of the 25, but I think at least 10 of them are looking at him going, so far, so good. I could totally see a future with this guy.
Of course, because he's the only thing they got going. Yeah. They don't have any TV, internet, phone access. The only source of entertainment they have is bottles of booze and Sean when he shows up.
But that's a credit to Sean, okay? Because I'm going to be perfectly honest. If that's me, on The Bachelor, there wouldn't be 10 of 25 that want me.
If you were the only thing...
25 out of 25 want to win the game.
If you were the only thing going... Now you'd be looking better and better every time.
I mean, he walks into a room and they all applaud like he's a rock star. Like, just
he's the only dude, man.
They were fighting over Ben Flasnick.
That's true.
There
That's a good point.
You could be at a club tonight and at 2 o'clock in the morning. Even the ones that are, you know, they're gonna look pretty good at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. They're the only things there.
Okay. And it's more about being rejected. These girls are crying like they lost love. No, it's because I didn't get picked.
Yeah.
I wasn't the one picked for the dance again. Yeah. I wasn't the pretty one. That's why they're crying.
Let's change this around just a little bit and let's say forget The Bachelor for a minute. Let's put it in a work environment. Let's say you're the head of human resources and you're hiring for a job, and a woman comes in with one arm from birth and tells you that, you know, all the times that she has been discriminated against and how difficult her life has been. Don't you have to call her back for a second interview?
Yeah.
Okay. Sean kept her. Then we go to the African-American girl who said, I don't know how Sean feels about black girls, so I want to go find out. Was that also a ploy? Because once that's in the show, where Sean's like, no, I don't see color. He can't kick her off. Not well, then.
He didn't.
Not but then. He kicked off the other one.
Then he said something kind of surprising. He said, my last girlfriend was black.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of surprised everybody watching. My last girl. Wow.
I thought his last girlfriend was Emily.
His last girlfriend was black. What? His last real girlfriend. And that totally turned that girl around. And she actually got a rose. Now, one of the other black girls went home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She was really pretty, the one that went home.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was at the end. She was like, love wasn't here. Ow. Like, yeah. Ow is right.
And you know what? As a guy, I liked her because she
I liked
seemed,
her, too.
Because only because she seemed to get along with the other girls.
And she was
And
sane.
I'll say it again what I said earlier. Girls that create drama, guys hate it.
Well, yeah,
we hate it.
And she got sent home.
And so the girls in there that are being all bitchy and stuff were like, ooh, and especially the ones that keep it going, you know?
But see, you don't see the crazy this blatant. But then again, the other side of the coin is all the crazy girls are the ones that are in the bar where the guy's fighting over them and stuff. And start
that's
drama.
What I'm
They're
saying.
The ones that always get the dates.
I don't need to watch the show on TV. I watch The Bachelor go down every Friday night in a bar. It's just last girl standing at 2 a.m. to and go are, home with the guy that everyone wants.
And are you one of them?
Sure. And I'll tell you what, I win The Bachelor sometimes.
Do you?
No,
awesome.
like twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Five to seven nights a week.
I wish.
Yeah, y'all.
You're listening to Kid Craddock in the Morning. Kid Craddock in the Morning.
I have a dream.
You know, in honor of the King, Martin Luther King.
The King.
That very famous I Have a Dream speech. We had the idea, what if we help some dreams come true?
Mm-hmm.
So we've asked listeners over the last few weeks to write us and tell us what your very personal dream is, and we'll do everything we can to make it come true. And it's not just throwing money at stuff. Sometimes it's access, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I would never be able to sit down and talk to Oprah if I wanted to have my own daytime talk show.
Sure.
You know? Maybe we can make that happen. Not Oprah. Not a chance in hell.
I'm in with Oprah. I'm in with Oprah, Doc.
Yeah. You have. You actually were on that.
I got connections.
Yeah. But, okay, if you don't have a really screwed up family, you can't meet them.
Right. That's impossible.
Okay. So joining us in the studio right now, say hi to Sarah Flugel. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Right into the mic.
Look
Excellent.
At those
well done.
Yes.
And to Kristen Lambert and her husband, Josh. Hi, Kristen.
Good morning. How are
you? How
you
doing, Josh?
Good. How are you?
Thanks for coming in. All right. Let me read these letters. They're kind of similar for I Have a Dream Week. We'll start with Kristen. She says, I have a product with a patent pending. No prototypes. But I do have graphics and market research, and I'd like to meet with someone who can give me advice on how to move forward. I feel this product has mass market appeal, and I just need to find the best place to start. Okay. I almost want to sing the Star Spangled Banner right now, because that's what America is right there. And, you know, we saw this unemployment in 07, 08.
Right.
And a lot of people use that opportunity to say, you know what? Why did I like that job anyway? I hated that job. I want to do what my passion is. Is that where you are with this? Do you want to do your passion?
Yes.
This is something you're not just a great idea, but something you personally connect with.
Yes, definitely.
Okay. And Sarah, your letter reads, I dream to meet Mark Cuban and share some of my dreams, ideas, and inventions with him to gain his knowledge and advice. Granting this dream could lead to more dreams coming true. Thank you for this opportunity.
She's got more than one.
You have more than one idea?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. Whoa. All right.
You haven't fleshed them all out yet.
Exactly.
We all got like three
I'm,
ideas.
I'm wondering if you do meet with, like, if we were able to do that with, like, Mark Cuban, and you're meeting with, like, one of the biggest entrepreneurs and a billionaire, I might want to focus on one thing so he thinks you believe in that one thing more than anything else. Mm-hmm.
A little offended. I'm a little offended that they have an entrepreneur right here in the room with them and they didn't ask to speak with
an
me.
Entrepreneur.
After all the businesses you've run in the ground, having a lot of confidence with you.
Nobody put me in there. I have a dream speech.
How's that bar in Mexico doing, dude?
That's okay.
Yeah, right. Al, you
it's up for sale, actually. Yeah.
You don't
own, I understand.
You don't own sports.
That's true.
Mark Cuban, one of the most controversial figures in sports. He bought the Dallas Mavericks.
It's been 13 years. I remember when he tweeted that the other day.
He has gone through periods where he was widely hated around the league by other teams. Sometimes that's a compliment. He and the commissioner have battled over fines and things like that. He's notorious for having bought a G5 on the internet. He bought a Gulfstream jet on the internet.
Because he could.
How could you buy one? You just that's go to the website
cool.
or what?
You can.
That's cool.
He's an amazing... Not rags to riches story, but...
it was rags to riches kid.
And so who better? Who better than the guy on the Shark Tank to, you know, go through your idea unfiltered and tell you exactly either you got something there or back to the drawing board. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Mark Cuban.
How about
Yay!
It?
That's what you come here for.
Mark, that was your big intro.
Notorious billionaire entrepreneur and the outspoken owner of the Dallas Mavericks.
He's listening to music.
Yeah.
I think they're crazy to go retail and wholesale.
Okay.
Absolutely loony bin nuts. Because your costs go through the roof.
Okay.
I'd like to get involved, but I don't want to be in the wholesale distribution business because you lose control of your own destiny, particularly this early, right? You got to crawl before you ball, right? And the minute it goes to Bed Bath & Beyond, they control who you are.
Wow. See, this is the kind of straight-up talk that very few people have the skins on the wall for you to believe it and go with it. Mark, thanks for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure. Keith.
Appreciate it.
Anytime.
I saw that episode. That was for the little things that keep your coffee hot.
Right, the Julies or whatever.
The Julies, Coffee Julies. Yep. I can't hear him at all, kid. Is Mike on?
You can use
his
mine.
His mic's not on. Okay.
Sharing is caring.
He can just use mine.
I'd love to get him on another microphone.
Yeah, use mine.
How about that one right there? Okay.
Mark,
I would like you to meet Sarah right here.
Hi, Sarah.
That's
nice
Sarah Flugel. And next to her is Kristen Lambert and her husband, Josh.
Hi, Kristen. Hi, Josh.
And
nice to meet you.
Neither of them have told me what exactly they have. And maybe they'll be a little discretionary about telling us now because you don't want anybody stealing your idea.
Have you patented and copyrighted it?
Wait, can I just tell you?
Yeah.
If you're worried about someone stealing your idea, quit right now.
There we go.
Because everybody's got ideas. I mean, they're easy. There's not one person listening who hasn't had that one big idea in their stomach. They just thought, oh, I've got it, and I'm going to make a fortune.
Well, wait a minute, Mark. I was going to buy the Mavericks, and then you stepped in.
Yeah.
Would have, could have, should have.
But, Mark, mine's going to work.
Yours always works. Look at this.
The prescription windshield.
Oh, God.
Right.
Go
so you no longer have to wear glasses in the car. Now, it does make your head look huge to other drivers. That's a problem.
And it makes people ride with you very ill.
Well, guys, if you're worried about protecting it, that's nothing. Right, because you're going to have to go out and execute it. And the minute you go out and do your deal, then they can see it anyways.
Okay. So full disclosure. Sarah, what's your idea? Give it to Mark the best way you can, and let's see if he
put me on the spot.
That's why you're here.
That's the idea.
I have the idea, and then also sort of like a company/invention that it would be there's two of them. It would be...
How's she doing so far?
Well, she's nervous.
It would help save children's lives.
Wait a minute.
Save children's lives.
You got to get to it, right? Don't beat around.
Yeah.
Look, what is it?
If I'm a customer and I walk in and I'm a potential customer and you're getting ready to sell me something, you're not going to start saying, well, it could save people's lives and it's really cool and it's really great. You got to get to it. People want to buy. Everybody's busy. Their time is valuable.
Okay. Well, by the time you're a customer, I don't already have a
You're not going to get a customer. You're not going to get a customer. You just got to get to it. Tell me what it is and why I want it.
I'll tell you the second one that, since it's artwork-based, it would be protected with my own design and so forth. That one is, in a nutshell, to help parents with children, especially.
Tell me what it is. can't buy a parents help my children, you know? It's not a song.
Okay, visual instructables for children. How many times have you told your kid, go clean their room?
Okay.
And they pretty much break down. Mine
talking to the mic, please.
Mine falls to pieces. She
becomes overwhelmed. We know kids are hard to communicate with. I have a 3, 6, and 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what I tell them, right? I still got to give them a piece of candy. So go ahead, tell me what it is.
How do these instructional drawings and videos help?
Wait a minute. She's so glad that she went first. She's like, oh, Lord. Thank you. I didn't have to go first.
I'm taking it easy on you guys.
Sorry for throwing you under the bus, Sarah.
All right, it's okay. Chance to prep.
For the most part, it was my daughter's birthday last year, and I asked her, what do you want for your birthday? And she said, I would like for you to clean my room. And I was like, clean your room?
What am I trying to buy, Sarah? Tell me.
We're done at 10 here, Sarah.
Okay, it's art. It would have artwork that would go on each item. So shoes, toys, on each one of her drawers, I put pajama pants, tops.
And matching artwork to know what goes where?
Yes, and it's matching artwork.
So your Garanimals on the shelves or whatever on the bed or on your closet.
They're graphic labels.
Exactly.
Peel and stick.
And to complement it, there's a visual to-do list. Instead of saying, go clean your room, it's follow this checklist, and then they immediately go with it.
Kids will follow a checklist.
No.
But it has fun cartoons to check off.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Stepford Kids. Not in my house.
Lord, that's cold.
Well, now, then I also had the
Hold on.
Jessica, go to
hold
the
on.
Spare idea.
Is it okay if I enhance what I think you're thinking a second? What if, okay,
you have
this, you create this game. Like, right. We're going to Paris. Okay, so you mark everything in the room. Like one has the Eiffel Tower, and one has the Arc de Triomphe, and one has the Champs-Élysées, and the goal
is, you got some really educated little kids.
And the goal is to match those things.
Kid, you just haven't potty trained a kid in a long time.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Arc de Triomphe. Pee on the Arc de Triomphe.
Yeah, so you put things together that you, or we're building a race car, but you're actually cleaning your room. Here's the tires. Here's the chassis. Here's the trunk. Here's the steering wheel. And that's how it
is. And that's not a bad idea. Gamification is what they call it, right? It's not a bad idea. Okay. It's like, if you go pee-pee in the potty, you get 3 M&Ms, right? Once you get 10, you know, you get to graduate to not wearing your pull-ups, whatever, right?
All right.
Gamification. But you got to be a lot more specific, and you got to get to it, and you got to make it a lot easier to sell and a lot easier to buy. Because if you have to hem and haw about how you're describing it, no one's going to take the time. They're on to the next page on babiesrus.com, right? They're on to the next section of the store.
Those people that come on Shark Tank, they are so well rehearsed, and they come out and they go, they're passionate,
right?
And they go, Mark, if you don't do this, you know, you're going to regret this for the rest of your life. Well, here's the idea.
There's a lot of editing involved.
Yeah.
You know, when they come on the Shark Tank, we don't know their name. We know nothing about them. And what comes on TV about 10 minutes, 10 minutes long, can go 2.5 hours.
Oh my Lord.
And we grill them. So you're
sounds like our show.
Yeah. And you have, I had no idea this was going to happen either.
Yeah, that's true. We threw a really sink or swim.
I'm just telling you. But look. When it comes down to real world and you're excited about the product and it has potential, but when it's real world and either A, you're trying to raise money, you can't hem and haw. You can't try to protect it. You just got to go for it, right? And if it's good, then you'll find a way to make it successful. And then when it comes to selling it, you can't hem and haw. You can't say, and give this big setup, because people aren't going
to. They don't
have
time.
Yeah, think about the time you invest in purchase decisions. You don't want to listen to a long, drawn-out story. You just want to say, will it help me? Will it not? Get to the point.
So you're not writing out a check for $3 million.
Mark,
I'm working off of $5 million, but yeah.
How does she raise money for this?
You don't, right? Okay. One of the biggest mistakes people make is trying to go out there and raise money. In this particular case, you can hand draw. You can get your friends to help at work. You can go to other parents that you know. Go to the parents of friends of your kids, and then
angel investors.
Well, just talk to them. You don't want to raise any money at all, because this isn't the type of thing that would take a lot of money to show off the concept and prove the concept.
But
then,
Mark, you know,
and then I would take it to Kickstarter rather than trying to raise money. Take it to Kickstarter, put it out there, show some samples, and see if anybody wants to buy it. At that point in time, they'll talk with their wallets before you have to go raise money.
You like that better than, she could get a very big loan at LIBOR and 25 bips, right? Lever it up about 3 times, and, you know, she'll be set.
And then be broke, yeah.
Well, about things that I do know, I did want to ask if I could do a demo for your Dallas Mavericks cheerleaders for something I do have that is not.
Okay, well, you just broke the cardinal rule. Okay. I'm out on everything, because if you never want to try to do multiple things. Mm. If you have an idea that is so compelling, so good, so amazing, do the one idea. If you hedge and say, but if you don't like this one, I also have this one, it tells me you don't believe in either.
Well, it's not. This is a, in my dream, I said, for ideas and an invention. And the idea is just to, I guess, it's Jamberry Nails. And that's an additional thing that I do to help my family.
I beat you to it.
So. Yeah.
All right. Sarah, last thing, and then we're done. Okay, last thing you can say. Just you have 30 seconds. 30 Tell Mark.
Boom. Pitch your most passionate.
Yeah.
My most passionate. Well, I'm a mother. I have twin girls and a 6-year-old, and I know that if you can start your kids early and you help them, and it can be something that I will develop and have the artwork and to make it grow, but. How many parents out there get so frustrated that they want their children to be able to do this and not collapse and freak out that they can't do it?
Every parent, so. Right? But the key is, what are you doing, right? There's always a good idea. What are you doing? And you've got to create it, even if it means you drawing the pictures yourself, cutting them out, you know, and pasting them on a background and then putting them into packages and selling them yourselves. Mm-hmm. That's what you do. Because if you believe in an idea enough, if you really care about trying to get this done and really see it as the future of who you are and what you want to accomplish, then you do it. If it's always about, well, if I only could raise money, that's the biggest excuse in the book. So
I didn't want to do it to raise money. I mainly wanted to see what path did you have that led to your success.
Okay.
I've worked my butt off, and I didn't go out there and raise money. I just did the work.
Just did it.
I just did.
And this segment,
don't think about it.
You know, in her defense, the segment is called "I Have a Dream," not "I Have a Plan."
Got it. Okay. So, well, it's a great dream. Yeah. Now you just got to
execute. My thing is, she might feel now leaving here that she blew her one shot in front of Mark Cuban, she's leaving feeling worse. Than we want her to feel excited. Would you be willing, now that she knows what she has to do, to maybe look at it again if she has time to flesh it out?
Here's what I'll do. If you turn it into a product. Mm-hmm. Right. Not even a business plan. You don't even need a business plan. If you turn it into a product, then get back in touch with Kid, and then we'll come back and we'll look at it again. I'll say,
and
you know,
he means
I hate for you to leave feeling like you blew your one and only, because that wasn't fair. You weren't prepped.
No, okay, that's my bad then.
It's our bad. We wanted to surprise
her. I've known Mark forever. And if he says it, he means it. He will look at whatever you bring to him.
Absolutely.
Okay. So take your best shot on that. All right, moving on real quick to Kristen.
Now's the time to have that like meltdown when Simon Cowell says you suck.
Who are you?
I wasn't trying to say it was a bad idea. What I was trying to say is focus on the idea because it has a chance. And if it has a chance and you do the work and you go and work with the people you know and try to sell it to them, anything is possible. If you always make it about, well, I have to do this or I have to do that first, or then nothing happens and nothing is possible.
Good.
So
good.
Go get it.
All right. Say hi to Kristen and Josh again here.
Hello.
Are you ready?
Oh, Chris is coming ready now.
Kristen, I think you've seen the lay of the land here.
Yes.
And if I were you, I would have run out.
Yeah.
I would have run out screaming.
Oh.
But at least he didn't tell you to
shut up.
So, that's true.
Got that going. So tell us about your idea with a patent pending. Here's what she said. No prototypes, but I do have graphics and market research. And I want to meet with Mark, who can give me advice on how to move forward. This product has mass market appeal. I just need to know the best place to start.
Fire away.
Okay. What I have is a universal bottle holder. And essentially what it is like, for example, I see JC, Sarah, and Kelly. They all have their different, you know, cups that they would take with them. Oh. It is a device that you could attach to like a purse strap or a backpack, maybe luggage, a duffel bag. And
It's a bottle holder.
Universal.
Yes, but right.
Handle.
Yes, exactly. But it would kind of look like a Chinese finger trap is my initial thinking, whereas, you know, once you put the bottle in there, the weight is what causes it to stay.
Right. That's a really good comparison.
It's a practical.
Yeah, that brings a vision to everybody's head.
You know exactly what she's talking about, right?
So you're going to stick it in there. It's going to be hard for it to come out.
Yes, exactly. But it'll also be, whenever you're ready for it, easy for you to get back out.
Just to pull out, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
No, it's cool. I mean, it's a cool idea. It's not expensive.
Show them what you got.
Show
them what you got. You got graphics? Yeah.
Oh.
All right.
Pass them over.
Oh, we are so close to a $3 million check.
You know what? I love this because I can't stand that the Fiji water bottle doesn't fit in my cup holder in my car.
We get one too.
Yeah.
I hate the square bottle.
We each got a presentation.
Oh, wow. Look at this.
Oh, wow. I got one too.
Oh, and you can put your Marga straw in there.
The universal bottle holder.
You could even localize it, like if you wanted it to look like the Dallas Mavericks when it wasn't in use.
Look
or
at
if
that.
You wanted it to have.
Yeah, you can specialty merchandise it.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's actually cool. It's a cool idea.
It looks like a curly ribbon that hangs off of your purse.
Okay, I'm going to tell you exactly what you do. You go to abc.com/Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. You apply to be on Shark Tank.
Wow.
Because this is the type of product that would be easy to show. It looked great on TV. You know, with Lori on the show especially, it's potentially a QVC Hero Zero. She'll know better than I would from that end of it. You probably have and if you haven't already, go out there and try to price out manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would also look at Kickstarter. And I'm a big pimp, a Kickstarter.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's
hard out here for a pimp, eh?
Yeah. When I'm around Al, I get confused. But,
I know.
They do too.
That's because Al's confused.
The reason I like Kickstarter is, you know, in the old days, you'd go out and try to raise money to get things started. And I would always tell people, rather than raise money, go out and find customers.
Mm-hmm.
Because customers will pay for it and help you get started, and you get to keep 100% of your company.
For those that don't know, Kickstarter is a website where you agree to buy a product that's not available yet, or invest in it, and they will give you the product after you make the investment. You don't have to give the money until they've made the product.
Right. It's Kickstarter.com.
Mm-hmm.
And so by going out there and showing them what you've done, and you've done some great research, and you've obviously done your homework to present it, get feedback from potential customers. And, you know, the people who are interested in buying it, they're the people you want to talk to first.
Should she get a prototype made in China or somewhere that she can bring in one and just show it to?
She makes it to TV, yes, right?
Well, you'll get to that point, but I think you want to start pricing it out just to get an understanding yourself, because by going through even just the pricing process, you'll get a better sense of how much you have to charge for it, because that'll be the first question people ask. How much is it going to be?
Yeah.
What I'm hearing here, Kristen, is Mark doing a lot of wham, wham, wham. I'll give you 100. I'm going to give you $155.
Okay, Mr. Wonderful.
I need 10% of your company. You can have it. I mean, this offer's going to be good for like 20 seconds. So
think about
Josh, I just got back from Las Vegas, and I did really well. I have $300 for 50% of your company right now.
Oh, hell no. Okay, Josh.
You got outbid.
Josh, $155.
Josh.
$300. You're going to give away your future of your family for $300?
Absolutely not.
I'm going to run to my car and get my checkbook, but I'm going to hold it check till Friday. We get paid Friday.
How about?
Yeah, it won't bounce as high on Friday.
$400. All right.
I'll give you my one-year-old son for 30% of it.
I've seen him, and he's adorable.
I know. Thank you.
Okay.
However, I have a two-year-old son.
You are invited to submit to Shark Tank. And, Sarah, you are invited to take this a step further. We'll put it in front of Mark. Hopefully, if he likes it, I promise you there'll be a meeting if he likes what he sees. And you know what? A lot of people have ideas, mm-hmm. like he said, but a lot of those ideas do come to fruition.
Yep.
And you don't have to be the world's greatest salesman to make something happen.
Not at all. You don't have
to be a person that can stand up in public and give a great speech. You don't have to be that. There are many people behind the scenes who get somebody like that to go spread the vision for them. So don't be concerned about that. If the product's good, people will buy it.
And you know what? You guys have had the courage to come up here and stand in front of Kid and all the listeners.
In front of Mark Cuban.
Millions of listeners.
They didn't know that, though.
Right? You know, so that takes a lot of courage. So, you know, you're able to take that first step, which 99% of the people are not able to do. They're afraid to take that first step. So don't let anything stop you. And there's neither of these businesses are businesses where you have to go out and raise a ton of money.
Or quit your job, right?
Yeah, don't do that.
I couldn't do that.
No, don't do that. But with effort, right, a little bit of focus, then anything is possible. It starts with one product. You never know. You may be mom's best friend with a whole line of products, but you got to get the ball rolling. You got to get started, and you've got to get it priced out, get it out on Kickstarter, get feedback, and then always in both businesses, one thing you always want to do is reiterate. You want to get feedback from potential customers and actual customers, learn from them, and then improve your product, and then
Perfect. Try
to come up with the next one, and anything's possible.
There you go.
Like it.
Thank you.
Office still good.
I appreciate your time.
That's some tough love from Mark Cuban.
Hey, nothing but the best.
Since we got you right here, before you go, and I'm going to promote a couple of things of yours in a second, but before you go, complete the sentence, the single character trait I look for in successful entrepreneurs is?
Golly, that's a great question, Kid. Probably focus.
Focus.
Yeah, because what happens is, like we saw from Sarah, is that you have one idea, then it's about the next idea if you don't like the first idea. Either you're in or you're out, mm-hmm. right? There's no, you can't be halfway in.
Okay.
And once you're there, then you just got to work it.
And 85% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. Why?
Because they don't focus on sales, right? There's never been a business in the history of businesses that has succeeded without sales. And you've got to recognize that the one thing that you can do to help your company is go out and sell your product. And it should be relentless. Sales cures all is always my mantra. And so every minute of every day, you've got to be selling.
There you go.
I mean, at the Mavs office, I used to walk around, and if I saw two salespeople talking to each other, I'm like, somebody better have a checkbook, and somebody better be selling.
What do you better be buying?
And you better be wearing a Mavs sweatshirt while you're doing
it. Exactly,
Shark Tank, by the way, the number one show on Friday nights on ABC. HDNet Movies is Mark. I remember when he started it.
Yep.
And everybody's like, HD?
What the heck is that?
Who's ever going to have that?
Hey, you know what? On Shark Tank, let me just add a little plug. It's the number one show on all of television watched by families together.
No kidding.
Yeah, when people talk about the future of America and entrepreneurship and the American dream, it is alive and well. And it's crazy, kid. I mean, I go places, and it used to be basketball, basketball.
Yeah.
Now I've got 12-year-old kids, and I'm thinking they're going to ask me about Dirk or the Mavs.
Yeah.
They want to say, oh, I saw this business, and I you know, on Shark Tank.
That's cool.
I went into an elementary school, 5-year-olds, and someone asked me a question about Shark Tank.
Come on.
Crazy. Crazy how this has taken over.
I hate to put you on the spot. I think this is the favorite thing you've ever done. Everything you've done, and I think winning a championship.
Buying a basketball team was pretty cool.
But you are
buying a plane online, pretty cool.
I've known you for a lot of years audio days.
Yep.
Before broadcast.com.
Yep.
And I've never seen you more excited about something than helping other people.
I'm still more excited about the Mavs, but I feel good about Shark Tank, right? Because, you know, when the economy is like this and we're just now starting to turn the corner and everybody's looking for good news, right? Mm-hmm. The cool thing about Shark Tank, just like we saw Sarah and Kristen here today, you know, everybody's got that dream. And I think they watch Shark Tank just to get reinforced that if these folks on the show can come in and have a chance to do something special, so can I.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel good. And it makes me feel good about this country.
Awesome.
Out of all the products that have been, you know, presented to you and pitched to you, what most surprised you and what was your favorite out of all of them?
Oh, my goodness. There's a lot of really, really good ones. But the differentest and coolest one that surprised me was a company called Surfset Fitness. And what these guys did, they were from New Hampshire, a couple, and they took a surfboard, cut it down a little bit, and then put all this stuff underneath it to make it recreate. So when you stood on it, it recreated the experience of being on a surfboard.
So you're
on
the water.
Right. So you could, it feels like you're learning how to surf.
Wow.
But it's also a great core workout. Mm-hmm.
Like a Bosu ball.
Right underneath the surfboard, right? And so now we helped them package them, and they went from doing nothing. They had a couple classes in New York before they came on Shark Tank. I put a big investment in them. Now, you know, 4 months in, they're already, you know, booked $2 million worth of sales.
Come on.
Oh, they're just like taking off.
I'm such a loser.
There's just so many simple ideas. We just haven't thought
crazy,
of them yet.
Right? SurfsetFitness.com. You can check it. There's just so many of them. Like you said, Kelly, right? Just if you have the idea, but what they did was they created a class in New York and they tested it. They took the time to build these surfboards.
Yeah.
And they built 6 of them so they could see if people wanted it. They tested it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just off the charts.
Hey, if you can come up with some way to lose weight, you can be a billionaire overnight, you know, or some fun new twist on it.
Yeah, as we wrap up with you guys, let me just tell you how special this moment is for both of you. He gets hundreds and hundreds of people a day that want to come pitch him an idea.
Every day.
I happen to be one of them, and I hadn't had a meeting with Mark in 2 years.
So, we just have to keep inviting him on the show to pitch his show.
I'm waiting for Kelly to come on the plane again.
There you go.
Invite me.
Oh.
Like I'd say no? What?
We love that plane. Access TV is yours as well,
sir.
So be sure to check that out on your cable system. It's this partnership with Ryan Seacrest.
Well, the second hardest working man in show business.
This has nothing to do with anything other than sports, but since Lance interviewed with Oprah, is he going to come totally clean, you think, in your opinion?
He has to, right? Right now, he's
no choice.
Out of luck. He's got no choice. So there's no downside for him to coming out. Why wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And this comes from a guy who had Dennis Rodman on his basketball team.
Yeah, living in my house, too. Yeah,
and living in his house.
There's still a thing of Carmex under the bed that no one will touch.
Give it up for Mark Cuban, everybody.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Watch Shark Tank on Friday nights, the number one show in America viewed by families.
It's Kid Craddock in the morning.
Yeah, y'all.
You're listening to Kid Craddock in the morning.
In the morning.
I swear, I feel like a billionaire tornado just went through our building.
It did.
And destroyed everything.
It did.
A lot of energy.
Mark Cuban was just here.
No, it literally destroyed everything because his phone just dropped on the ground
and
broke.
Did?
If you're friends with Mark Cuban and want to get a hold of him, please don't call
his
phone.
Mark, did you break your phone?
No.
Is it okay?
It's good. It's
okay.
It's not like he can't buy another one. He's a billionaire.
You need a hug.
I got Al's phone number on here.
Oh, yeah.
Lost forever.
That's good, because he has your wife's phone number in his phone.
Oh.
You know how he is.
Mark's going to put on
Al,
Facebook.
Al, good luck getting free tickets now.
Yeah, right?
He's going to put that message on his Facebook page, like, if you need me, Facebook message me.
Yeah. Right. Lost my phone.
Right.
Okay. Let's talk about depression, because this is the most depressing week of the year, according to experts.
Is it?
You know last week. I would have said it was last week, based on personal experience.
I'm always depressed, and I feel great this week.
How were you yesterday? Because yesterday is, through surveys over the years, the most depressing day of any year. Is January the whatever
14th. I'm guessing because 2 weeks in, you've already broken the resolutions and you feel like a failure.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
The holiday glows over. Weather sucks. It gets dark early. That affects people's moods.
Okay. Yeah.
You don't have a vacation coming up for months.
Yep.
You flopped on your resolutions. And, and
The credit card statement came in from Christmas. Uh-huh. I bet that's about the time, too.
That's another excellent point.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for your friends today. Make sure that everybody that you love and care about isn't having a terrible week. Okay? So just keep an eye out. This is the week to watch out for.
I'm looking out for me today.
Are you? Okay.
Yeah. It's time for some me time.
Well, speaking of depression, it is a miracle that I'm not, because a new study found that those who drink a large amount of sweetened sodas and fruit drinks, whether diet or regular, have a huge increased risk of depression. Coffee drinkers, on the other hand, have a lower risk than average.
Always up, yeah.
The study was presented at the American Academy of Neurology's annual meeting. So this isn't a bunch of, you know, this isn't like the Huffington Post did a study.
No.
People who drank more than 4 cans of soda per day were 30% more likely to be depressed than those who drank no soda.
How many cans do you drink?
About that.
About 4?
Yeah.
Well, you've cut back then.
I have a lot.
Yeah, you're rounding down.
Yeah, I had a lot because I heard something. I started reading up on something that said that it can hurt your joints and stuff to drink a lot of.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
To drink a lot of artificial sweetener.
It causes something to deplete you.
Yeah.
Something.
I don't want to get sued. So I'm just saying I had heard that drinking certain drinks with a certain sweetener. So I've cut way back. That's about
it. Well, I know when I went through my phase where I just suddenly realized I am drinking nothing but Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
I mean,
nothing. No water.
There was no crystal clear water passing over my lips. Yeah. My back would start hurting.
Sometimes I think that's the bigger problem.
Kidneys.
It's not as much of the pop as it is the people that don't drink any water.
Exactly. Right. It's about balance.
It could be that's why they're depressed and there's no water. Not what they replace it with, but what they're not getting.
That's why I drink vodka water.
Uh-huh.
Bam.
Plus you go up with the sugar high and crash. So you're up and down and crashing all day, right?
Al, you're being humble. You just drink straight vodka. I think we all know that.
I'm going to start learning how to do that. Isn't that what a martini is, a straight vodka?
Yes, I think it's called a martini, Kelly. You might want to
a martini. Yeah, but a lot of
order it like that and they'll think you're cute.
Isn't
like you've never had one.
No, I've had a dirty martini.
That's with olive juice,
that's
isn't it?
And vermouth, so there's going to be a lot of salt in that.
No, that's with the opening act at a concert. That's a dirty martini when you're backstage drinking at the concert.
Those are good, though.
It's going to lead to dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to cut calories where I can. I figure I'd just start drinking straight vodka.
No, I like that. I think you got a good solid plan there.
The vodka diet.
That's my new plan.
Vodka water is probably better because at least you're putting something healthy in there.
Hydrating.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Al, you know, he does have the olives in the drinks, and that's how he survives. That's his only actual solid food.
A lime.
Yeah, a lime.
Yeah,
maybe a lime.
But at this point, his liver's pickled, so it doesn't matter.
It is. Yeah.
I'm just trying to keep it going right now.
He'll be fine.
I don't want to stop the party now.
Yeah.
Olives.
You send your body into shock, man, when you stop drinking.
If Al gets famous enough, they won't create a mannequin for him to go in the wax museum. They'll just be able to put him in.
Him, yeah.
Because all the organs are pickled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See there?
It'll be preserved for
years. I'm saving y'all time and money.
Thank you, Al.
Craddock in the Morning.
Looking out for you, dog.
You're listening to the Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast, a condensed version of the show. To check out the complete replay of Kid Craddock in the Morning, log on to KidNation.com and click on the podcast or webcam. Kid Craddock in the Morning.